Hopefully you were all singing along in your head that very familiar song from Cheers. We're continuing our series called TV Dinners. I'm Dan Geisel. I'm the campus pastor here. Really glad you're here today. Today's our final week looking at sitcoms and how they kind of have themes that play into culture and how that applies to us in the church. And so we're looking today at community and how community is impacted and what we can draw from even a place like Cheers, and how that can, how God speaks into the church as well. Well, that TV song is so popular, we all know that. It actually, in 2012, was voted the best theme song of all time. 30 years after it started, it was voted the best theme song of all time. And, you know, there wasn't a huge chorus. It's not, you know, a beautiful song, I don't think. It's not the most amazing song ever. What is it about that song that really captures our attention, and why would that be the best song of all time, the best theme song? I think because there's some truths in that song that really capture our heart, right? That actually are really true to us. We want to be in a place where people know us. We want to be a place that we are welcomed in and everybody's happy that we're there. We want to be in a place where our troubles are the same. We want to be a place that we can feel included and accepted. And I think that God has actually designed the church to be that place for lots of people. God designed that place to be a place where they're known and loved and accepted in church. But in our culture, there's lots of people that are looking for that in different ways. And some people find it in the bar. And I found this quote. It says, "The neighborhood bar is possibly the best counterfeit there is for the fellowship Christ wants to give his church. It's an imitation, dispensing liquor instead of grace, escape rather than reality. But it is permissive, accepting, and inclusive fellowship. It's unshockable. It's democratic. You can tell people secrets, and they usually don't tell others or even want to. The bar flourishes not because most people are alcoholics, but because God has put into the human heart the desire to know and be known, to love and be loved. And so many seek a counterfeit at the price of a few beers." It's a counterfeit, though. It's not real. People are looking all over the place to feel loved and accepted. They'll go to the bar to drink away their worries or concerns. They'll go to the bar to talk to the bartender because they don't have anybody else to talk to. But God has designed the church to be that place. We know in the church that Christ is the only one that can take away the baggage of our past, the only way we can have freedom, the only way that we can really be known is in Christ, as he knows us in every bit about us. But why is it that people don't want to, like, why isn't it that people are flocking to the church to find that answer? Unfortunately, we are often the reason. We are often the conflict between the people and Jesus. The church sometimes is the biggest thing that keeps people away. So how can we, a church in 12 Points, Maryland Community Church, how can we be a place where people want to be? Where people want to be. That's going to what we're talking about today. How can we be a place where people want to be? And I think that's really relevant this week, because our mission all along, we've been talking about this, you know, our church is this week, I think, 5 months old. So we are celebrating our 5-month anniversary today. Lots has changed over 5 months, right? Yeah, that's crazy. We've had tons of changes and lots of people and lots of great things. But ever since this idea was birthed, we've been all about getting out into the community and inviting our neighbors here and bringing them into the church. And so this Saturday, as we mentioned, this Saturday is the block party where we have our first chance to welcome people into our church and to be a part of our community. And what is it that's going to be that they're going to say, yes, this is a place that I want to be? And so as we kind of dig into this, that's kind of the background of where we're headed. And of course, to figure out the answer of what creates a place where people want to be, we're going to look in Scripture. We're going to look at Romans 15. So you can turn in there or use your phones to find Romans 15. And just a little background headed into Romans 15. And previously in chapter 14, Paul's talking to the Romans church. And in 14, there's been some bickering, quarreling. There's been some fighting in the church about some issues that are not relevant to salvation. They're not like core issues. They're kind of back burner issues. And Paul is telling the people that have been around, the mature people, the strong in their faith, you know, you don't worry about that stuff. You need to be the mature people and kind of resolve that and don't worry about that. And then I think in 15, he kind of wraps it up with some rules of community and some rules of how to live with other people that are relevant to us today. So this is what it says in Romans 15, starting at verse 1. We who are strong have an obligation to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good to build him up. For Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another, in accord with Christ Jesus, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. So I'm going to take all those seven verses and put them into one sentence that hopefully will be kind of the focus of the day. I think by putting others first like Christ, we create a community where people want to be. By putting others first like Christ, we create that place and that community where people want to be. So if you look at verse 2, the first thing that happens when you put others first is that we are selfless. We are selfless. So in verse 2 it says, let each of us please his neighbor for his good to build him up. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good to build him up. So we have to look outside of ourselves. We have to be focused on others instead of ourselves. And again, Christ had that example to us, and he instructed us in a parable. Well, first he said to love your neighbor as yourself. They said, well, who is your neighbor? And he went on to tell a parable of the Good Samaritan. And the Good Samaritan was a parable where a Jewish man was beat up and was left on the side of the road. And two church officials, a priest and a Levite, walk past this man and kind of turn their head and walk the other way without helping him. Well, the third person that walks by is a Samaritan. And a Samaritan and a Jew in those times, they did not get along. They were in conflict with one another. They were different cultures. They wouldn't even talk to one another. It was probably more likely that the Samaritan would come by and give an extra kick to the guy on the side of the road than help him. But Jesus said the Samaritan stopped. He cleaned him up. He put him on his own donkey. He took him to an inn. He actually stayed with him overnight. And then he said to the innkeeper, you know, keep him as long as you need. I will take care of any expense that happens. So the Samaritan, despite any cultural issues, any differences they had, took his own time and his own money to help this person that was in need. And I think those are some qualities that some resources that are very precious to us, our time and our money, that often we hold very tightly to ourselves. We don't often like to use those to help other people. And so I think that one way that we can be selfless is to use our time and money to help the people that are in need around us. But it goes on. Again, we're following Christ, and it says in verse 3, for Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those you reproached fell on me. In the message, that reproaches of those we reproached is kind of a big word. In the message, it says, the troubles of the troubled. Christ took on the troubles of the troubled. In Philippians 2, it says that Christ became as a servant. Christ, who is the king and leader of all things, came to serve. And not only that, then he took on death. He took on all of our troubles. Taking on people's troubles is very hard. It takes time. It takes empathy. We have to put ourselves in other people's shoes. We have to listen well. These are all characteristics that I myself have to grow in and have tried to grow in. Those are not my strong suits. So if you're saying, yeah, I'm not very good at that, well, it's very hard. It is hard to do those things. But to be selfless like Christ is to love those people, to take on the troubles of the troubled. We had a girl probably 5 years ago that ended up at Maryland. And when she ended up at Maryland, she was maybe 22 or so. Her name is Jessica. She gave permission to tell the story because it's an awesome story. And when she was about 22, she was living in a tent in a yard of an acquaintance. It wasn't really a friend, but she asked them if she could stay in their yard. And so she was staying in a tent. So basically, she was homeless. She had a bag of stuff and a tent, and that was what her belongings were. And she ended up going to Crisis Pregnancy Center because she found out that she was pregnant with their first son. And so single, really no family or friends, homeless, and she had nowhere to go. She had no idea what to do. She ended up meeting someone from Maryland Community Church at the Crisis Pregnancy Center, and they began a couple sessions. A few sessions in, Jessica says, you know, tell me about your church. Like, I want to be a part of that. Can I come to your church? And so she was brought along to Maryland. We ended up connecting there. We helped her get some transportation. She was kind of, had great debt and needed some help with her transportation. And we also helped get her plugged into a C group of young parents and young families where she learned how to be a mom, how to, you know, what this was while she was still pregnant, so what childbirth was going to be like, and got to hear all the stories, and they threw a baby shower for her. And then she was invited into the moms groups and had a social group to hang out with and go to playtime and do all those things. She ended up getting connected to Bible study fellowship so she could ingest scripture and read and learn on her own what God was telling her. Now she's serving at Maryland Community Church and has her own home and is just an awesome single mom. So there was lots of people that were involved in that story of helping, taking on the troubles of the troubled. And I think as a community of people looking outside ourselves, giving up our time and our resources to help people that are in troubles is what can really be attractive and really create a place where people want to be. But again, since it's so difficult, how do we sustain ourselves in that? Verse 4 gives us a little bit of an idea on that. Whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of scriptures, we might have hope. So in the middle of the helping the troubles of the trouble, you're going to run into a point where you're like, man, I don't know if I can do this anymore. I don't want to answer that phone call. I don't want to go pick up any more people. I don't want to listen anymore. I don't have any more empathy. We can remember the encouragement and the endurance that we get through Scripture. The only way that we can help other people is by staying connected to Christ. And the best way to do that is through His Scripture, through His Word. And if we are helping people on our own strength, it is no good. We have to stay connected to Jesus Christ through His Word. And that is where the hope comes from. That is where we can give hope to other people as well. So, to put others first like Christ, to create a place where people want to be, the first thing is to be selfless. The second thing is to live in harmony. Live in harmony. Verses 5 and 6. May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another in accord with Christ Jesus that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we have to live in harmony, live in unity. Unity is talked about so much throughout the New Testament because just 2,000 years ago, they were still people. They still had their preferences. They might not have been fighting over worship music or the volume or what if we had chairs or pews or anything like that, but there's still conflict. And so they had to talk about unity a lot in the New Testament. But also Jesus, we're following Jesus' example, right? So in John 17, Jesus prays, and he's praying for us, the future church, the believers in Jesus. And he said, God, I want the church to be one, just as I am one with you, the Father. So Jesus is an example of unity because Jesus and the Father and the Holy Spirit are created together. They are one. They are three in one. And we can do another sermon on or a series on the Trinity, but they are one. They are so close. They are in community with one another, and that's how he desires our church to live in community, in unity. I was at the social hub of the 12 Points neighborhood, and where kind of you go to be seen and be known. Anybody know where that is in the 12 Points neighborhood? The Circle K, that's right. I didn't know if anybody would get that. But it's the gas station up on the corner. And literally, it is. I mean, there are tons of people in and out of that place. So if you ever want to be known in 12 Points. So I've been making regular occasions to Circle K. It is literally the place where people go in 12 Points. And so I'm talking to a guy there. He's a really nice guy. And, you know, like a good pastor should, I said, hey, you should come check out the church. And he's like, well, you know, I love Jesus. Like, I grew up in church, and I know Jesus, and he's great, and I want to follow Jesus, but I'm just not down with church because I had a bad experience with church. They're all getting up in my business about all this. They're just fighting and infighting going on, and so I just want to do my own thing with Jesus on my own, so thanks, but no thanks. I'll be good. And I think that has the experience of many people. They're open to Jesus, but they want to be a part of something where the people get along, the people love each other, the people are helping each other grow in Christ, building each other up. And that's easy to say. It's harder to do. How do we do that? Well, it also goes on to say in 5 and 6, may the God of encouragement, of endurance and encouragement, and another word for endurance is patience. Patience and encouragement. What if our body, what if our community here was known for patience and encouragement? If we were slow to be angry, and when somebody offended us, we actually went and talked to them and handled our struggles and our conflicts with that other person instead of talking behind other people. Or if there was something, some way that the church has offended you, that you came to an elder or came to a staff member and talk through that issue instead of spreading gossip and lies. What if we had patience in that? And what if we encouraged one another? What if when we pick up our kids, we gave great praise to the people? Thank you for teaching our kids about Jesus. Or we sent a note to our ministry leader. Thank you for the time that you put in to making our ministry great. This few days ago, actually yesterday, I think, I got a text from somebody just like, I'm praying for you. I'm so pumped that you're preaching tomorrow. And it was like, it just gave me a boost, right? Everybody loves to be encouraged. What if we are known for texting one another and just with a little word of encouragement? I know that you had a test today, or I know you were kind of down today. How's it going? Praying for you. What if that was what we were known for? Our patience and encouragement. I think that would build a more united church, that we would live in harmony together. And as we live in harmony together, with one voice, we glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not exactly sure what that looks like, but I wonder if it looks a little bit like this. That's what it was. they were united in their rhythm, in their making of music, and they were in one accord, right? But I thought the interesting thing with that clip is that it started really small and a few people getting together, and then everybody wanted to be a part of it, right? Everybody wanted to get on board with what was happening. And I think that's what happens when unity is taking place, that as they see a group that loves each other well, that's taking care of each other, that's being patient with one another, that's encouraging one another, people want to be on board with that. And they'll come in from all different areas. They'll come down the stairs. They'll come in with whatever it is, and they will be a part of that group. And that, living in unity with one another, will bring glory, and that will be a beautiful sound to our Lord Jesus Christ. All right, we have, we want to be a place where people want to be. And to do that, we are living like Christ. We're putting others first like Christ. So that means we are selfless. That means we're living in harmony. And finally, we are welcoming. We are welcoming. Verse 7, therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. We're following Christ's example in this. Christ has welcomed us in. And it's nothing that we have done or deserve to be a part of that. In Romans 3, 23 and 24, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And all are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. We are all screwed up. We all have issues going on. And yet Christ has welcomed us in. He didn't say, well, you have to get this fixed first, or you have to get cleaned up first. And so are we doing that for the people around us? Are we accepting anybody, and no matter where they're at, they're down on their luck, they're struggling through addiction, they're going through an affair, a divorce. We want to welcome those people in. We don't care where they're at, where they're from. We want to love them like Jesus loved them. And we're following Christ's example in that. But that welcome, you know, when we say we want to be a welcoming church, and we have a hospitality team for that, right? We got people assigned to do that. People at the doors that shake hands and make people feel welcome. That's not going to cut it, folks. We all play a part in being a welcoming church. And so each one of us have to continue to look outside of ourselves to help welcome people into this community. And so I'll tell you one of my pet peeves. I do not like I couldn't talk to that person because I didn't know if they were new or not. Because you want me to talk to new people, but I didn't know if they're new. That's a terrible, I hate that. If you don't know somebody, feel free to talk to them, okay? And welcome them into this place. And they can be an elder here or whatever, and they would love to talk to you and get to know you a little better. And so if you're new here, we'd love for you to start an interaction with one of us as well or meet you at the Connect Corner. And we would love to welcome you into our community. And so why do we do all of this? Why are we welcoming? Why are we selfless? Why are we building on unity and harmony? And I think he finishes up the whole thing by saying it's for God's glory. We're not doing this so just the neighborhood comes and we can be a bigger church and we can be a successful multi-site or a fast-growing church or for my glory or for the band's glory or for the children's ministry glory. We're doing this for God. We're doing this for God's glory, that He will hear that beautiful sound of unity, that He will look down and say, well done, my faithful 12 Points clan. I'm so thankful. Thank you. We do it for God's glory. So maybe you're here today and you're like, this is all great, but I'm actually the one with the troubles. I'm actually the one that is hurting and don't know what to do next. Well, we have a time right now where we can pray with one another. Our altars are open for you to pray, to grab communion. And we might not be able to help everybody's troubles, but we can pray for you. And that's one thing that we'll do no matter what. So we'll pray for you and we'll take on your troubles through prayer and we'll take your troubles to the Lord. And we would love to do that for you. And maybe God stirred in you something in today's sermon. You need to pray over that. Or maybe you have totally different issues and you want to pray with the prayer team or pray on your own. And this is just a time to respond. This is just a time for you and God to do some business together. And so hopefully you will take advantage of that. But again, the reason that this is so significant in our history as a church, our infancy as a church, is because we're about to welcome in thousands of people to our campus on Saturday. And we want to be a place where people want to be. We want to be a place where those people come to church and they know this love and this freedom, this all of these benefits that we've received from Christ. All these great things that we get to experience in Christ. We want that for each of them, right? And so the biggest question is, what happens if all of this works? What happens when God stirs in the hearts of all of these people that come to our inflatables and to get free food, and God stirs in them, and they come next Sunday? What happens when we have hundreds of people here next week? Well, I have a story. It's what I would love to see happen coming up in this next few weeks. So there's a lady, a single mom, and she has 5 kids, ages 2 to 7. And all 5 of the kids are by different parents, different fathers, and none of them are in the picture anymore. She actually moved from a different area and so doesn't have any family here. She has lots of acquaintances, but probably it's connected to drugs, as she's most likely has drug dealing happening in her house. She is a beautiful woman, but she comes to the block party with tore up jeans and kind of scraggly hair, just worn out, beat up by taking care of these kids all by herself. But she finds at the block party, she connects with someone, says, you know what, I need something, so I'm going to try out this church. They talk about how it's so great, I'm going to go try it out. So she shows up 15 minutes late, of course. I mean, she's got 5 kids. And she comes in, and we're absolutely packed to the gills. We have no seats left. We've pulled in seats extra. And no one sees her come in except for an usher who just finished with the offerings, coming back in. Says, hey, welcome. Gives them a big hug, gets to know the kids. She's a little bit scared. This is the first time she's ever been inside a church. So she wasn't familiar with the kids' programs, wasn't ready to put the kids back there. He says, you know what, come on inside. He gets his family up, moves them out, and seats the single mom's family in their seats. We'll call the usher Frank. So Frank and his family kind of surround them. They kind of fill in the gaps. They put the kids on their laps and just love on this family during the service. The kids are loud and boisterous, and they're not paying attention to anything. And they kind of cause a racket around them. But Frank's family cares on them and loves for them. After the sermon's over, instead of people giving them dirty looks, they come up to them and surround them and hug them, let them know that they're glad that she's here. Frank and his family say, you know what, it's great for you to be in here, but your kids, they got to go check out what's happening in the kids program. It is awesome back there. And so he finds a security team member and ends up taking them on a tour throughout the whole thing. And the kids at the end say, wow, this is great, Mom. We have to come back. So the next week, the kids bring Mom back. And Frank has already planned. He's talked to Steph and got his background check. And they are planted in the kids' rooms, ready for them, waiting for them, because he knows that they needed extra help. In his tour, he saw, wow, we need extra help in the kids' area. So they're ready. When Mom brings them back in, she's so happy to see someone familiar that they know and welcomes them into the kids' area. And she comes in and just has a great Sunday service. Afterwards, Frank and his family invite their family over to their house. The kids run around like crazy, tear apart the house, eat all their food, and everybody loves it. Everybody's so happy because they're living out Jesus' example of caring for the least of these. And the woman goes home to the drug-infested, dirty house, and she starts telling everybody she knows about this love and acceptance that she's never felt before. She doesn't know what it is yet. She can't name it yet, but she knows there's something special. And she tells everybody she knows, hey, this is a place where you have to be. That's one story. We need to do that story times 100. We need to love our neighbors when they come here next week. We need to pour it on thick. And it may mean you have to step outside of your comfort zone as serving kids, or you may have to do something you've never done before. You may have to invite this family to your house. I don't know what it is. But I pray that God will show us how to love well, to be a place where people want to be. So God, thank you. We thank you for your example to us. We thank you that you have showed us what it is to be a servant. We're thankful for just your selflessness, the unity that you've called us to, the welcoming, how you've welcomed us into your family even though we're broken, beat up. God, we pray that we'll be able to pour that out into the people around us. Even this week, we pray that that will happen. We pray for the 12 Points neighborhood. God, draw them to this block party, not for our glory, for your glory. We pray that you will stir in their hearts, that you will draw them not just to the free food in the bounce house, but that it will be attractive to be here, to hear your word, to worship you, that the kids will learn your name, know your word. God, we pray that you will do an amazing work, and we will give you great glory. In your name we pray. Amen.